for coming this evening. It's good to see all of you here this evening and see a few visitors sprinkled throughout the crowd. It's good to have you here as well this evening. So welcome as you join us in our service and worship to the Lord this evening. This evening, I'd like to read for a devotional here this evening from Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 to 11. The people called for Ezra to read the book of the law of Moses to them. And as we read through this passage here, I'd just like for you to take note of what the people's attitude was towards having the law of Moses read to them, and then also their response to it. And may we be like these people were in this setting thousands of years ago, ready to hear the word of God and then to leave here obedient to what we've heard. So let's read Nehemiah 8. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in the front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women, and all could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in the front of the water gate from morning until midday. Did you catch that? From morning until midday. That could have been 4 hours, 6 hours. Sometimes we think if the preacher goes 15 minutes long, we're going to get a little worried, right? So, but this was a half a day of reading here at least. And it says, before the men and the women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Notice that their ears were attentive as they came to hear God's word. There's a couple sections here where I'm not going to read all the names. It's a little difficult to get through there. So verse 4 says, so Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood, which they had made for that purpose. And beside him, on his right hand, there were 6 men, and on his left hand, there were 7 men. So 13 men flanked Ezra here. And then verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And so we see the reverence that people had for the word of God by standing during the reading of the word there. Then all the people answered, their response here, amen, amen, physical response, while lifting their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground, showing humility. And then here in verse 7, we have another 13 men along with the Levites who helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Verse 8, so they read distinctly from the book, and in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept. We see their response here was weeping when they heard the word proclaimed to them. And then verse 10, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. Then verse 12, and all the people went their way to eat and drink, and send portions and rejoice greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. You know, meetings like this, there's times when we'll have different responses to what's being shared. There's times when, as Brother Daniel mentioned last night, or in one of his previous messages about mourning, sometimes we mourn because of our sin, and that's that is an appropriate response. There's times when we rejoice because we hear God's word and his promises, and we can rejoice in that if we're living those in those promises. But the one response that we should always have to God's word when it's read is obedience. And I think we see that here in verse 12. It says, all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and rejoice greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. And so what they were commanded to do, they did according to God's word. So may the Lord bless us this evening as Brother Daniel comes and shares again with us this evening. I think he'll have another children's time. So Brother Daniel, why don't you come and we'll have a word of prayer with you. It says in that scripture too that all the people could see him because they, because he was high above them, and Daniel's sort of high above me at least. So, Lord bless you as you share this evening, Daniel. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to you this evening, Lord, we come, Lord, and we want to humble our hearts before you this evening. Lord, we want to hear a word from you this evening through our brother. And I just pray, Lord, that your spirit would again be faithful to us this evening as he shares. Mm-hmm. May we hear, Lord, what you want us to hear. Yes. And then may we leave this place renewed, refreshed, and different than what we came this evening. Mm-hmm. May you be praised in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You see, sin has a way of not only affecting us, but sometimes even other people. They may want to help us, but they could get stuck in the same place that we found ourselves if we don't be careful. As you grow older, there'll be a lot of temptation, like I said yesterday. Temptation would cause you to go into a sinful place and to do things that are wrong, that are ungodly. You remember yesterday, the three Hebrew boys, they wanted to do what's right and good and honest. And the king said to them, you know, if you would just bow, all is forgiven. But they said, King, we would never bow. And I want to encourage you to know that there's a world out there of sin. But if you ever fall into sin, there's Jesus Christ. If you would pray and ask him to forgive you and repent, he will forgive you because he loves you. Do you know that song, Jesus Loved the Little Children? Right, let's stand and sing it, kids. Come on. Some of you could sing back there, start this song, or I would make a mess of it. Children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, dear is precious in this sight. Jesus loved the little children of the world. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this is the time when we got the prize. Mm-hmm. Where's my bottle? Here we go. Got my bottle of candy. You know the deal on this one. And then, could you see this? What's in there? Do you know what's in here? And in here? You sure? No. You're not too sure. So this is by sight and this is fate. You think there's money, but you're not too sure. All right. Well, I'll put them down here. I believe one has $5 in it. Now, I don't know what the rest has in it, but I want you to come. If you answer the question and you get a chance to either go by what you see or by what you can't see, faith. All right, so the questions are very simple. Maybe I start here. Do you remember the message yesterday? Last night, we preached about, what was the promise? Let me just go here first. What was the promise last night, the promise? Yeah. God will always. Anybody remember what the promise was? God will always be with you. What was the message about? Okay. No, the message, the main message. Mm-hmm. That was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's good. But what was the main message after the children time? Any of the adults remember? Uh-huh. Being the... So what was the promise? God said you will be. Not you may be or you could be. God said you will be the what? The light of the world. What else? The light and the... The light and the That was close. The river, that's close. Now, you did you say light? Okay, so you got to come here. We need one more. Somebody else didn't answer yet. The bushel? That's close. Let's go to you here. It'll be the light and the salt. Okay, come on up. Let's see. You want to go first? Which one you want to pick? The candy or the... Well, you want to go by feet. Oh, let's... Wait. Want to make sure nothing drop here. Let's see. Keep coming. One hand. Sorry. Which one you want to go for? The by fate, or you want to take some candy home? $5 versus some candy. Which one would you take? Let's see what you got. I get to keep my money. All you get. Oh, sorry. We put this back. Oh, I get my $5 to go back home with today. Oh. All right. You'll be the salt and the light of the world. Now, yeah, last night we talked about some things that salt does. Tell me one thing that salt does. In the back. It purifies. Come on up. Something else. It gives flavors. Come on up. Anyone over here? Anyone remember what salt does? It's what? It explodes. It explodes? Man, that's good. I like that. We got to keep this. Watch. Keep eyes on this guy. Yeah. Maybe tomorrow. All right. Don't worry. Anyone over here? There's some. Sometimes we sing a song about being like gold. What gold? I mean, gold is like what? If you put it in the fire, and it comes out, golden calf. That's good. I like that. Anyone? All right, pure. Pure is gold. Remember we said it purifies. Forgot that already. All right, let's see which one you pick first. Who's gonna go first? Boy, where do you want to get that money, boy? Oh, boy. Let's see what you got. You didn't get anything. Put it back. I could tell. Sorry. Which one you want to pick? Oh, yeah, watch him, guys. Watch him. Keep coming. Make sure nothing falls. Keep coming. Bring it. Keep bringing it. Not. Good. Woo. You made it. All right, so wants us to be the salt and light of the world. Now, for you guys here first, we'll come first. Remember Sunday morning? What was the promise Sunday morning? Healing. Whoa, you're smart. Come on up. Healing. Now, for you, there was a girl that got healed, a little girl. How old was she? 12 years old, you come on up. There was a lady who was sick. How many years was she sick for? That's close. That's very good. Good try. Who else want to go? 12. All right. Now you guys get the last of the chance. Come on up. Ladies go first. Which one, ladies? Oh, you're taking the candy. Or are you going for this? Let me know which one you want. Oh, okay. Here we go. Oops, sorry. Look like a blank piece of paper in here. All right, guys. Next. Blank piece of paper. A blank piece of paper. Guess what? They're all blank. See, that's what we talk about. Sometimes we get it, and sometimes we don't. But if you walk by faith and not by sight, that's why you trust God. And when you trust God, sometimes he gives you the things you want now and sometimes maybe later. And tomorrow night I'm going to share about when God says no. And you wonder, why did God say no? But he has a better plan. Well, thank you very much. You can go back to your seats. Give them a round of applause. Thank you. All right. And I got to keep my $5 this week. All right. Sin, do not touch. Ah. Baseball time. All right. Should we go straight into the word, or could we remember where we stopped? Yeah, last night on the story. Somebody told me, my daughter loves to come when you're here. The only thing there's one thing you say she don't like. What is it? When you say, and something happened. All right, so we know something happened. What was happening? Tell me something was happening right before it happened. Help me here. Where I stopped last night? Where did I stop? Whoa, you're smart. All right. So I went to the U.S. from the island of Trinidad. Or should I say came to the U.S.? And, the nightlife was good, like I said, and the parties were good, and the drugs and everything else. And then I went back home. And then I thought, well, I want to go back again. And my wife says, she's not going. But I convinced her to go. And we came to the U.S. for the first time. And she saw it wasn't as bad as people say. You know, people always think, you know, when you come to the U.S. and you go to New York City, you got to hold onto your pocketbook because somebody might grab it. Hold onto your wig or something. They may grab the wig or your. And people just grab whatever. But it wasn't that bad. And she decided, well, okay, maybe we could live in the U.S. So she's going to go home and she's going to get the kids and we had three daughters at a time, and they'll come back up. And what really happened is that she called me and said she's pregnant. I said, wow, that's great. In the meantime, I continued living in sin, and God was really dealing with her more than dealing with me, because he had a plan. She came back up. She came back to the U.S., brought one of my little daughters. She was 3 years old. And then later on, the next two. And we had a first boy. And that was great. Now we have three girls and one boy. And I thought things was going great and everything else. Until one day, my wife went down to the train station. Now, I'm living in sin, and I don't want to be saved because I knew the two types of Christians. And she came back home, and she said, you know, she met a man in the subway. He was selling Bibles and giving out tracts. And she thought if she would get me an NIV Bible, because back in the island of Trinidad, all we read was King James. It was King James only. I mean, if Paul, the apostle, read the King James, it's good for everyone to read the King James. That's when you're a joke. You could laugh. Anyway, so she asked the man, and he didn't have any NIV Bible. So he said, give me your name and your address, and I'll bring one. Well, she did, and then as she walked away, she thought, New York City. I give a man my name and address, and I don't even know him. God, I pray that he would lose it. But he didn't. Matter of fact, he came to the house a couple of days, and he came with a Jamaican girl. I mean, she's from Trinidad. This girl is from Jamaica. And they came, and they brought the Bible. And they invite my wife to come to church. Well, my wife was afraid to go to church because coming to the U.S., there were Jim Jones, the cult. There were Harish, or what a guy named, that was going on the space shuttle or whatever he was going to do. There was a lot of cults. There was the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. So she stayed home and watched Christian television. But they came and invited her to come to church. She decided, okay, I'll go. They looked up like nice people. And then she got to church, and the guys come up in the front, and he took this thing out, and he went, toot, ho, ho, ho. She never heard that before. She was saved in a Pentecostal church. And then everybody, ha, ha. She came home a little bit discouraged and disappointed, but they were nice people. The music was different. They dressed so much differently. All the men had on white shirt and black pants. And the ladies all looked like a cult. And she heard they were Mennonites. What is Mennonites? We know about Jebusites and Hittites and Amorites. But Mennonites, what was that one? Anyway, Alan Roth was the pastor at the time, and he would come, and they would have Bible studies, and I would go in my room, lock the door, turn on the television. I don't want a part of this. But, you know, the enemy has a way of doing things. I started looking at a preacher on television named Jimmy Swaggart. I liked the way he talked, and he would cry, and, oh, man, this man was good. Jimmy Swaggart is my man. And then one day, Jimmy Swaggart was found in sin. See, the devil have a way of working things out, you know? And I didn't want any part of this Christianity. I started going to school in Manhattan, and it was a rainy, cold Thursday. And I said, I'm not going to school tonight. I was doing night school. And then the doorbell rang. And I went downstairs, and oh, Alan Roth, I know him. I've been to the church a couple of times when my daughters were doing things in the Christmas play or doing something in the church. Oh, you came to my wife. No, I came to talk to you. To me. But you guys could tell I like to talk. My wife said I should have been a lawyer. See, that ball is wrong, and I can show you it's oblong. It's not really wrong. I want to debate you. I love to debate. And he came up, and he started talking. But remember last night I told you when I was about 12 years old, I lived at a home where the lady couldn't read nor write, and I did what? Read the Bible every night. So I knew some of the things. I knew my wife needed to obey. You know? Well, I didn't need to love her that cried at the church. I'm not a Christian. She's a Christian. I knew how a Christian is supposed to live. I heard many stories, read many stories. So here was Alan Roth trying to convince me to become a Christian. And he talked, and I debated him and debated him. But then he asked me one question, a question I'd like to ask you tonight. And the question was, when you die, where would you spend eternity? Oh, that's an easy one. When I die. See, I was a drug dealer, but I wasn't dealing drugs anymore. I wasn't selling, I was just taking it, so that was okay. I'm not an alcoholic. I only drink every day, and I can stop whenever I want to. At least that's what I say. I smoked cigarettes and stuff, but that was on me. I wasn't homosexual. I did commit adultery, but, you know, God made a male and female. So I was a pretty good guy anyway. I took care of my family. I worked. And I said to Alan, well, heaven. And he said, why do you say heaven? And I said, well, I'm a good person. I take care of my family, and I'm not like I used to be. And he said something so foolish that I didn't even understand what he was saying. He said, well, all your good works is as filthy rags. And I thought that was so foolish until he explained it to me. It wasn't the things I do. Is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you have that? He said it. He said, I started to sweat. It was a cold day, but I was sweating. I can't even remember. All I know, I tried to get out, and I tell him, okay, come back next week. We'll talk about that. Because I know next week when he comes back, I wouldn't be home. But then he said, what if you die tonight? Where will you spend eternity? And then something happened. I know what you're thinking, but something happened. And I'll tell you what it is, too. God willing, tomorrow. Sorry, young lady, something happened. If you have your Bible with you, I want to challenge you today to go into the book of Matthew chapter 25. And the promise tonight, the promise is that Jesus Christ is coming again. Whether you believe it or not, Jesus Christ is coming again. There's a second coming. We're going to look at that tonight. The thing is, are you ready? Are you ready for his second coming? He made a promise. It's a done deal. Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 1. We'll begin right here. Young lady, stand up and read it out, that first verse, read nice and loud. Next one. Next verse. Next verse. Mm-hmm. Keep going. Mm-hmm. Keep going. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Come on, handsome. Okay. Let's go to the back here. Mm-hmm. Okay, Marvin. Mm-hmm. The parable of the wise and the foolish. They all dress like what? They all dress like virgins. They all talk like virgins. They were all going in the same place. Kind of remind me of Christian. We know all the songs, all the hymns. We could tell you, thou art from everlasting to everlasting, for thou art and thou is not. There were five wise and five foolish. They all took their lamps and they went out to meet the bridegroom. They all had lamps and their lamps was lit and they were planning to be at the wedding. How many of us tonight are planning to be at the wedding feast of the Lamb? In heaven with Jesus. We're all planning on that. You know, it reminds me of when I'm going to Kenya, Africa. I don't just get up one morning and say, I'm going to Kenya, and somehow I'm going to get to Kenya. I have to plan when I'm going, what I need to take, what it's going to cost, is there a visa involved, I buy my plane ticket, I make sure I have my suitcases, my clothes ready. There is a planning time because I want to go. You know, five were wise and five were foolish. What made the difference? What made the difference? The foolish hoped that an association with those who are better spiritually conditioned will get them to heaven. You know, sometimes we feel if we were taught enough, you know, and we hang out with Todd and Todd is spiritual, all of a sudden we become spiritual. You see, if Duane is saved, his children just, you know, that's my dad, so we're saved. You see, there is first generation, second generation, third generation, fourth, fifth, sixth, Mennonite. But you're always a first generation Christian. It doesn't go down from one generation to the next. Your grandfather could have been saved. He could have been the bishop. Your pastor, your father could have been the pastor. But it comes a time you have to accept him for yourself, Jesus Christ. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil. Are you ready for the long haul? Are you ready for the storms of life that will come, the temptation that will come? Last night I told you, we are living in a world today where black is white and white is black, where up is dung and dung is up. Where it is in some places, if you're not living that lifestyle, you know that lifestyle I'm talking about, not male and female, but otherwise, you're not normal. We're living in a day today where abortion is being, even in the Christian church, divorce and remarry is rampant. Where is the pure church? ways of Christians who are ready to stand. But the wives took their oil in their vessels with their lamp. Are you just coming here with your lamp every night with no oil? And you expect somehow to get oil from me? I could share the word of God with you, but you got to go for yourself. You got to dig in it for yourself. You got to accept Jesus Christ for yourself. I can't make you do it. I can lead you to the water, but I can't make you drink. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and they all slept. They all got tired. We'll all get tired at times, because sometimes the road could be heavy. I tell you, 2 years ago, we walked a heavy road. And as David said once, my feet almost slipped. But I had to keep my eyes on Jesus. That's the prize. That's the grand prize. But while the wives took their oil in their vessels and with their lamps, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, the time that you least expect, there was a cry heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go and meet him. There come one day, we'll hear the cry. Jesus Christ is coming again. Oh, maybe we may die before. And where are we going to open our eyes? Where are we going to be? Where are we going to spend eternity? Then all the virgin arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil. They all woke up. They all were asleep. They all were tired. It wasn't one woke up and one stayed sleeping. They all woke up. The wise virgins are like trimming their wicks. It's like the reference to the preparation of the second coming of Christ. They were ready. They had their oil. They weren't living on last Sunday's sermon. Monday, they were meeting with God. Tuesday, they were meeting with God. Wednesday, they were meeting with God. They were prepared. Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, least there should not be enough for us and you, but rather go to those who sell and buy for yourself. We are initially surprised, even disappointed, that the five wise virgins will not share their oil with the foolish virgin. Have you ever wondered, why didn't they just share it? I mean, this is because the five wise virgins were not selfish. In the context of the story, sharing the oil may have meant that all 10 would run short of the oil. But when we come to the interpretation of this parable, we can see that the saved cannot share what they have in Christ with the lost. I can't give you salvation. I can share with you the road to salvation. You come here night after night, and I could tell you. I could share with you my experience. I could share with you how I came to Christ. You know, one of the things I like to do, some people I would talk to, and I say, are you saved? Oh, yeah. I've been saved, yeah. Me either. When you pray to receive Christ and what it was like that day? Oh, well, it wasn't like that. I mean, I grew up in church and I've been in church all my life. But could you remember a day when you pray and confess your sins and say, Jesus Christ? Not really. How many of us are here tonight, know someone? Or maybe it is you. You could never remember the day when you made that change, when you step out of darkness into this light. You just felt you were born in the light and you just stayed in the light. The Bible says we are all sinners. We all need Jesus Christ. And that's why he came. He came because he loves us so much. He gave everything for us on the cross. And his promise is he's coming back again. The lost will not enter heaven based on salvation of others. Each person is accountable for his own choice. Tonight, you are accountable. You make the choice. Am I going to live for Jesus Christ, or am I going to live for self? And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. I want you to stop just for a moment and think of this. They look like virgin, they talk like virgin, they plan to go to the wedding, everything was going great, they got tired, they all slept, they woke up, and they missed the boat. I've been in church all my life. Some may say, what happened? Sometimes we believe the door will never be shut. When you close these eyes of yours permanently, the Bible says to be absent in the body is to be present with. Who is that for? Is that for everybody or for Christians? Because he says in another place, it's once to die and then the. Those two verses I shared with a cousin of mine that had cancer. I had a cousin who was Hindu, and she had cancer. And we didn't talk for a long time, and then I went to see her, and I shared with her my new life in Christ. And she said, could you come and pray with me? And I'll go there very often, and I'll pray with her. She's Hindu. Now, Hindus believe in many gods. Yes, Jesus is God. Hanuman is God. Ram is God, Sita is God, the mountain is God, the elephant is God, the Ganges River is God. And when I finished praying, she would say amen. And then one day, I prayed for her. And while praying, I said, Lord, you say to be dead in the body. To be dead here is to be with you. And Lord, you said to die, and then there's a judgment. And when I'm finished, she said, Daniel, when I die, what would happen? She believed in reincarnation. I said, well, you have to denounce all the other gods. And there's only one God. There's only one gate. There's only one door. And it's a promise. For God so loved you, Sarah, that was her name, that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. And he hung on a cross not because of the nails, but because it's the love for you. And if you would repent and turn away from all the other gods, Jesus Christ will come into your heart and your life. And it just began. And she said, I want to do that. And I prayed with her that night. And then I'll go and pray, and she'll have all kind of questions to ask me about Psalm 23, and we'll talk. And then she said, Daniel, when I die, I want you to be speaking at my funeral. And then I had meetings in Southern Indiana, and I heard she died. And I had just prayed for her before I left for Southern Indiana. Her husband is still Hindu. The rest of the family is Hindu. It's going to be a Hindu funeral. But they said, Sarah said she wants you to come and speak at a funeral. And at the funeral, here it was, the priest and the pundit was talking about traveling, and they have gold in the coffin, so when she gets to a certain place, she'll pay her way. And then I had a chance to share with the congregation. Any of you know Josh Good? He used to live in New York City. Josh, he has a voice, he can sing. God has a way of doing things. The family came together and they said, Daniel, Uncle Daniel, we want you to be the MC, the moderator for the funeral service. Wow, I get to talk. Good. The place was packed. I picked up the phone and I called Josh. Sunday school is going. And I said, Josh, will you come and sing two songs, Amazing Grace, and I have another one for you. And Josh came. And he sang. And he was just weeping. And then I came and I left my rest of my hand in the coffin. I said, I do not grieve like the world grieve, because Sarah accepted Christ. And the priest, the pundit, he looked at me like, what are you saying? But I wanted him to know that there is a Savior, and you have to repent and turn to him, and he will set you free. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him. And Sarah was ready. There were many who had been in the church most of their lives, I believe, were left behind. There will come a time when it's too late. Verse 11, afterwards, the other virgin came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, I say to you, I do not know you. There's another place in the Bible that says, Lord, did we not do this in your name? Did we not do all these things in your name? I mean, did we not go to the prisons? Did we not feed the homeless? Did we not lay hands on the sick? And all your good works is as filthy rags if you do it unto yourself. I remember I was going to Kenya some years ago, and the man that I was going, I didn't know them at all, and they had invited Joe Mullet, and Joe Mullet asked if I would preach for him, and the guy sent and asked me for $500, and he told me how I should send it. And I said, for what? He said, well, we're going to put a big banner up. Daniel Pollard from the U.S. is coming, and he'll be healing. And I said, sorry, I don't heal. I'm not a healer. God is a healer, and I can't decide it. We could pray. And we could trust God. We could believe God. I don't want my name up there. If you want to put a name up there, put Jesus Christ is coming again. And a preacher is coming and he will share the gospel. That's all I need. Many times we want to see our name up in the sky. None of the 10 virgins knew when the groom would arrive. And all 10 slept He took longer than expected to arrive. We do not find 5 foolish virgins asleep while 5 wise virgins were busy working. All slept. All was awakened by the news of the groom approach. The emphasis here is not really on working as it is on waiting, looking, and living. This is because our salvation is not a result of our works, but of his work on Calvary. Ephesians 2, by grace we are saved, not in the works we do. We must have a relationship with him. How do you have a relationship? By talking with him, by listening to him, by following what he says. See, sometimes we could feel, well, we may get away, because it wasn't our fault. Ezekiel 18:20 says, the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall come upon himself. We're all going to give account. You know what I like the most? Is how much God loves us. Remember I told you in Romans, as bad as Paul felt in chapter 7, how wicked he was and all the thing he done, when he got a revelation of the love of God. There's no heights, no depth, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Why would we not live for him when he died for us? Yeah, we dress like Christians, we look like Christians, we walk with big Bibles in our hand, and we could quote the scripture. But are we truly being the light and the salt of the world? Are we truly waiting for his second coming? Do you want me to gesticulate here? Or just let you know that the outcome is either heaven or hell? And does the key element is salvation? Are we living for Jesus Christ? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, you who practice lawlessness. Jesus is warning us in the parable that it would be a number of people who would look like Christians, who would associate with Christians, and who even think they are Christians, who would be shocked to learn that they are not saved at the return of the Lord. What a sobering thought. So, in closing, my question to you, if you would die tonight, or if Jesus Christ would come right now in the assembly, would you go with him? Would you be left behind? If you die tonight, because we never know when we're going to die. I know there's a funeral coming up on Thursday. Young child. Lots of plans for the future. We don't know. We could plan the future, but we never know when it's going to be our day. If you would die tonight, where would you open your eyes? Well, I just came from revival meetings, that qualifies. I'm sorry to tell you, it doesn't. I can't usher you into the kingdom. Only Jesus Christ can. And to know he loves you so much, he loves me so much, that he say your sins are forgiven if you repent of them. He said, come, my child, my love for you is an everlasting love. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But your sins, your iniquities, in Isaiah he says, your sins have separated you from me. I love to tell you nice stories. I love to speak on grace, and I believe in the grace of God is the only reason why I'm saved. Sobering thought. Would you be ready? Are you the wise or the foolish Christian? It is once to die and then the judgment. Let's stand. Song lead, who is leading the song? Could you come back and lead that song for us to close with? Lord, I come, I confess. Standing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one. You're the one, Lord. Tonight, if you need him tonight, like the woman with the issue of blood, she had to push. She had to crawl on her face. Because she said, by faith, if I would touch the hem of his garment. She believed by faith. She didn't care what the crowd had to say or what they felt. But she said, if I would touch the hem of his garment. I don't want you to leave here tonight not knowing for sure where you spend eternity. There's a guarantee. I'm not asking you. The Bible tells me so. For God so loved me, you, that he gave, that you would believe, if you would trust in him, not trust in yourself, not trust in your denomination, in your religion, in your father's grace, in your mother's grace. Where are you tonight? With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, I want you to sing that song.
I come, I confess.
Hallelujah.
Bowing here,
I find my rest.
I find my rest.
Without you, Lord.
Without you, I fall.
We all will fall apart.
You're the one that guides my heart.
If you need Jesus Christ tonight as Lord,
Lord
and Savior,
I need you.
If you're not sure if you would die tonight, that you would be with Jesus Christ. I ask that you would walk to the front. It may look bad, but what's worse is that he comes and you are left behind.
My right.
If you have never prayed to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, tonight is the night to stop playing Christian and come. Anyone?
Your grace is more. Where your God is where you are.
If you want Jesus Christ to become your Lord and Savior tonight,
where you are, Lord, I am free.
You're here tonight and you pray to receive Christ, but you're struggling right now. There's some things in your life you're struggling with. And you want to say, Lord, I need you tonight. You don't know him as Lord and Savior. You come if you know him as Lord and Savior, but you're struggling tonight. Come. The altar is open. Do you need him?
My one
defense, my
righteousness, oh God.
I know there's someone here tonight that needs him.
Lord, I need
you need him, but maybe you're ashamed or afraid what people may say.
I need
Don't come because I'm calling.
You.
Come only because he touched you this night. Anyone?
You. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God.
One more time.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God.
Brother Todd, would you come? And would you pray? God has placed you here as one of the under-shepherds. And I'd ask if you would pray for the congregation and pray for the sister also. And there may be someone here tonight that really need him, but I don't know what is holding you back, but we pray that you would just give everything to him tonight. Yes. So you're dismissed. So God go with you, and God willing, we'll see you tomorrow night.